2 and verses 1 through 5. Scripture says, I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then I said, whither goest thou? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity I have to preach your word, something I don't take lightly, but I just pray now that you would just fill me with your spirit and give me the words that you want me to say and take away what you don't want me to say. I pray that we would all be able to get something from this lesson tonight. Again, pray for Pastor Parker as he is traveling, particularly the safety as he returns home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, when most people think of walls, they think of keeping something out or somebody out. But at 2 a.m. on August 13, 1961, a low barbed wire barrier was strung between East and West Berlin. It effectively divided the city in half. Within days, workers cemented concrete blocks into a low wall through the city. Moscow called the wall a barrier to Western imperialism. It was rebuilt at least 3 times, each time bigger, stronger, and more repressive. Hand-mortared bricks, precast blocks, and then finally concrete slabs. Tower guards and dogs stood watch over Baron's no man's land. A pipe too large in diameter for just a human hand to just grip onto ran along the top of the wall. And forbidden zones miles wide were created behind the wall, and no one was allowed to enter the zones. Anyone trying to escape was shot on sight. And the East German government saw the Berlin Wall as a symbol of its superior technology. And I think about other walls in history, too. We think about the Great Wall of China, which was built to keep foreign enemies out. And back in the Middle Ages, when they had castles, walls were built around those for the same purpose, to protect people within, keep them inside. But the Berlin Wall was the first one of its kind, and it trapped people in their own country. So tonight, I want to expose 3 walls that we build that limit God. The title of my message is Walling God In, or simply Limiting God. So we see how we can limit God through this passage of Scripture. The first wall I see is the wall of control. In verses 1 and 2, as I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in, get this, his hand. Then said I, whither thou goest? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. I see here Zechariah is given a vision from God. And in his vision, we see a man going to measure Jerusalem. But the first problem, though, this man has a measuring line in his hand. See, too often we make our own decisions, we make our own path, we decide what we want to do, and then we expect God to bless it. We want God to bless what we're doing. And it kind of reminds me of the time I took my car through the car wash. See, I like to wash my car by hand, just a nice, you get a lot better job. But one day I was just feeling rather lazy, and so I decided I was going to take my car through the automatic car wash. Everybody knows how those go. And so you got this guy there directing you into this track here where you have to get your wheels in. So that's good. Okay, got that. That was great. Okay, this is good. We'll try this. But then the guy starts waving his hand a little bit. Okay, he points to a sign. He said, put your car in neutral. Like, wait, what? Put my car in neutral? Like, then I can't go anywhere. Can't go forward. Can't go backwards. What's up with that? I was like, well, he must know what he's doing, so put my car in neutral. Like, okay, thought we were good. And then all of a sudden, the guy starts getting a little more crazy, starts waving his hand a little more frantically. He's pointing to another sign. This one says, take your hand off the wheel. I think, what? Dude, are you crazy? Take my hand off the wheel? I can't do that. If I take my hand off the wheel, I'm going to crash into something. And it was ridiculous. Like, okay, first I put the car in neutral, and then take my hand off the wheel? Like, this guy's insane. But then I decided, okay, well, maybe we'll give it a try. Take my hand off the wheel. We're good for a little bit. Going on. And now, the guy's like totally out of it. He's just waving his hand off frame, jumping up and down. And there's another sign that said, take your foot off the brake. And I'm thinking, what? Like 2 out of 3 is bad enough. And now you want me to take my foot off the brake? This guy was... I decided I wasn't going to do car wash again, but I still ended up doing car washes. I still made it through the car wash okay. Car was clean, that was fine. I still like to do the hand washing. You see, when we put up these walls of control, when we have our own, when we want to have our own control, we are setting up ourselves for failure every single time. Because we always want to be in control. And every time we're in control, expecting God to just kind of follow along with us, that's disaster in the making. So I see the wall of control, but I also see the wall of comfort. In verses 3 and 4, see, behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. And he said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and the cattle therein. So you see, this man had the measuring line in his hand. He was interrupted by the angel, telling him to stop what he's doing, because Jerusalem is going to be a city without walls. I'm sure the first thing this guy is thinking is like, wait, a city without walls? You see, back in the Bible times, walls were a symbol of protection for the cities. Because they didn't have any police force in town. They didn't have any, nobody could call the police. They didn't have any phones back then to call if there's trouble. So that's what these walls were, to keep enemies out, to protect the city and the people inside. And so they were, these walls had kept these people kind of comfortable in these walls. And it kind of reminds, now this one actually reminds me of my first shower experience. I was like probably 8 or 10 years old, and I was fine taking baths. Baths were nice, tidy little things. Just filled the water where I wanted to, and if I didn't splash too much, I didn't get the water in my eyes or my face or anything. Then one day mom was like, wait, this kid's 8 years old. It's like, it's about time he starts taking showers. And nobody even asked me if I wanted to go from junior bath taker to first time shower taker. I was fine with the baths, but then before I knew it, there I'm standing in the shower with the shower head pointing down at me like an executioner's gun. And then mom pulls the trigger. The shower head starts hissing, starts shaking, and I start screaming before the water even hits me. And it was horrible, and it was just outright, I thought my parents hated me. And what's worse, I wasn't sure I loved them after that either. And it's a good thing we lived out in the country, because the screams coming from the Holbert household at that time would have given the neighbors reason to call 911. But luckily I survived, and in fact this morning I took a shower without even thinking about it. You see, I was just comfortable taking baths, but then I decided to come out of my comfort zone. But I see that comfort, though, breeds arrogance. In Proverbs 11:2, it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. In Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And in 1969, in Pass Christian, Mississippi, a group of people were preparing to have a hurricane party in the face of a storm named Camille. The wind was howling outside the posh Richelieu apartments when police chief Jerry Peralt had pulled up sometime after dark. Facing the beach less than 250 feet from the surf, the apartments were directly in line of danger. The man with the drink in his hand came to the second floor balcony and waved Peralt. Peralta yelled up, said, you all need to clear out here as quickly as you can. The storm's coming. It's getting worse. But the others joined the man on the balcony. They just laughed at Peralta's order to leave. This is my land, one of them yelled back. He said, if you want me off, you'll have to come and arrest me. But Peralta didn't arrest anyone. But he was able to persuade them to give him the names of the next of kin. And about the 20 or so people that were gathered there and just said, have a party through the storm. And they laughed as he was taking their names and everything. But and they'd been warned, but they had no intention of leaving. It was 10:15 p.m. when the front wall of the storm came ashore. Scientists clocked Camille's wind speed at more than 205 miles per hour, which is the strongest on record. Raindrops hit with the force of bullets, and waves off the Gulf Coast crested between 22 and 28 feet high. News reports later showed that the worst damage came at that little settlement of motels, bars, gambling houses, where some 20 people were killed in a hurricane party in the Richelieu apartments. Nothing was left of that three-story structure but the foundation. See, comfort breeds arrogance. These people were arrogant. They thought they were okay. They thought they were fine, even though the storm was coming. They're just going to have a party. But also, comfort breeds apathy. You've seen Hosea 13, verse 6. It says, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their hearts were exalted. Therefore, had they forgotten me. You know, many people are like the player that Frank Layden confronted. Frank Layden was a coach at the Utah Jazz in the 70s, and he had a problem with a particular basketball player. So he summoned the talented but troubled man to his office, and looking at the player, the coach finally asked, I can't understand what it is with you. Is it ignorance or is it apathy? The player looked up at him and said, Coach, I don't know. I don't care. So that's what we get. We get in this bit of comfort here, and we just kind of get apathetic. We get arrogant in our comfort. Everything's fine with us, right? We love to be comfortable, right? Especially here in America. We have luxury cars with comfortable seats. We've got TV remotes. We don't have to get off our comfortable couches. We have microwaves. We can prepare our food comfortably. We have automatic car washes. We can sit in the comfort of our own car. We have air conditioning units in our churches so we can be comfortable. Which, I'm not against air conditioning in churches. Thank God we have that. We know comfort doesn't equal sin. But comfort that causes us to wall God in is. So we have the wall of control. And we have the wall of comfort, which causes us to become arrogant, because we apathetic. But we also have the wall of caution. We have the wall of caution or fear. In verse 5 it says, For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. And so in verse 5, God's simply telling Zechariah, said, Hey, you don't need to build a wall or anything. I'm going to be your protection. I will be the one to fight for you. You see, the African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet high and cover greater distances than 30 feet. But these magnificent creatures can be kept in a zoo enclosure in just a 3-foot wall. That's because that the impala won't jump if he can't see where his feet are going to land. That's kind of how we are. We're just cautious. We don't know what's going to happen. We're not going to go out a little farther. We're a lot like that impala because we don't know where we're going to go with this. But we see the wall of caution keeps us from serving God. Will keep us from serving God. You say, God, I can't talk to others about your son Jesus. I don't know what to say. I never get it right. But you know what God says? That who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And you also say, but God, I can't afford to tithe right now. Times are tough. My finances are tight. You know what God says? My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. But you say, but God, I can't just leave my career, my house, my car, and go serve you full time. I don't have the strength to do that. But you know what? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is to be perfect in weakness. Not our strength. Get that? Not our strength, but my strength. For my strength. We have in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, it says, And the Lord... He it is that doeth that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. See, the phrase fear not is mentioned over 63 times in the Bible. I think if God says like 63 times, it should be enough for us to trust God. Like, okay, fear, let's not fear. The opposite of fear is trust. And so I see Psalm 2, verse 12. Blessed are they that put their trust in Him. Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 40, verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Psalm 71, verse 7, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Psalm 56, 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 62, 8, trust in him at all times. Psalm 91, 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Psalm 118, verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Proverbs 3, 5, everybody knows this one. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. As you hear in the United States, every farmer knows the way to keep his cows or his livestock in pasture is to build fences. But in Australia, these ranchers have these vast acreage of property called stations. And to put a fence around would just be completely infeasible, just the vast size of these stations. And so what the ranchers will do out there, they will sink wells for water, which is a precious supply out in the outback. And it's assumed that the livestock, even though they will stray just a little bit, but they won't go very far from the water. See, because they know what happens if they go too far from the water, they'll die. And so as long as there's a supply of water, they won't go very far. So let me ask you this. Which of these walls have you built? Do you have the wall of control? Are you still in wanting to be in control of everything, just let God kind of follow along with you? Say, God, I don't want you to take control of this. I want my control. I want control of this. Kind of what Brother Van Gelderen touched on, just giving God 100%. The Christian life is 100% God, 0% us. That's giving full control to God. Or is it the wall of comfort? Are you just too comfortable where you are? Just ready to just ride along your comfort right now? Right where you're at, you don't want to go one step farther. Step out of your comfort zone to help to serve God, to reach that neighbor across the street, or your neighbor next door, or your coworker, or the person you see at the store every day? Or is it the wall of caution, or the wall of fear? Are you just too afraid to do what God wants you to do? You know, the greatest wall people have here is the wall of caution, the wall of fear. So they're too afraid, they don't know what's going to happen if they go out and serve God. They're not going to know. So which wall is that you built? Are you still in that fear? Because God will take away your fear. Just fear not. That's what God's telling us. 63 times in the Bible, it's got to be something. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we thank you for this message. It's a simple truth and to expose a few things we might have in our lives, just either in complete control or just comfort where we are, or just too cautious. We're not sure what would happen if we went out and served you. I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts tonight, that whatever walls that we have built, you just want, or just all three of them, but let's pray that we would get that settled tonight. Just give you full control. Just launch out of our comfort zone. Just not to fear. Just pray that you'd be with each one of us tonight. That you would bless our time coming up as we go to you in prayer, bring our burdens to you. Jesus, I pray. I'll ask the ushers to come to the